We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I cede the floor to my partner because he's brought up something, and we were going to do it yesterday, but we didn't have time. There's something that you would like to get off your chest, and you might find some community in other people who feel similarly.
Yeah, and I'm a little sheepish about even talking about it because I like the player so much, and I love what he's becoming before our eyes. Pete Crow Armstrong, it's like a superstar birthing before our eyes, like in one of those star nurseries that a NASA telescope will see, where you're like, oh my God, look at this, this galactic happening. We're seeing that happen, and it's been wonderful. His skill set, his passion for the game, his swagger, his relationship with the fans. He's so well-spoken. He's so thoughtful.
I'm so glad you're saying that about a white athlete.
He's really articulate, Lawrence. You like that?
It's pretty good.
All right, good.
Speaks so well. He really speaks well.
But seriously, he's a young player. Not all young players are there in communication. And he's heartfelt. You can tell he's kind. And like, he spoke to the ushers the other day. Paul Sullivan wrote about it. And I talked to the head usher the other day because I just happened to run into him. And he was saying that Pete was wonderful with all of the ushers and the staff at Wrigley. Really connective and honest and great. So like, I think the world of the kid and the world of him as a player right now. It's been amazing. But he does it all the time. And when he did it the other day, it really didn't sit well with me again. And it didn't sit well with the casual baseball fan next to me, who was my sister. And we talked about it, and I realized that I need to come in here and admit that this bothers me.
Horner at third, Happ at second, Suzuki at first. Pete Crow Armstrong at the plate, Matt's on the mound, the pitch. Swing and a miss, he struck him out. Pete Crow Armstrong slams the bat down, slams the helmet down, leaves the bases loaded.
Wow, I didn't realize that John Rooney called it like that, but I'm not surprised. He slammed the bat down, he slammed his helmet down. He ripped the guard off of his arm and threw that down. He picked up the helmet and threw it down again so he could get another throw. Then he kicked the arm guard that he had already thrown down. Everything ends up in a pile there by the baseline. And I'm
at least it's in a pile.
Okay. And then I'm like, well, maybe he'll pick it up and take it in the dugout. But he didn't because he was due to go play. He made the last out of the inning. So I got to look and see if he picks it up himself when he doesn't make the last out. Because leaving it for a clubby to go do is the other level of this that I hope is not a regular thing. And I can't speak to that. In this moment he did. But again, he's going out to play the outfield. But I have to admit, just from my perspective as like a watcher of sports, as a watcher of people, I really don't like it. I think it's unseemly. I think it's like, it's not very adult, and it's kind of, it bothers me. It doesn't feel like great sportsmanship. Although it's not directly offensive to the opposition, I just don't think it's really setting a good example and a respect for the game. And I just got to admit that it doesn't sit well with me. Hope I articulated that well enough. And I'm not necessarily ripping the guy, because I don't want to rip the guy. He's a young player, but I don't like the actions.
I think your ire should be directed at the Cubs. Wait a minute. That's from earlier in the show. What are my thoughts on this one? So this one isn't that big a deal to me, because development isn't always linear, and we are still talking about a young player. He runs a little hot, and he's friendly, and he's polite for the most part, and he gets frustrated with himself. So I understand it. I'm with you on don't leave it for the clubby.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I truly don't like that. But I do think that there are moments when you have to express yourself, and or else you're going to fall apart. And I struggle with that in a lot of different forums, so I can understand it to a degree. And even in baseball, like even in softball, you know, if I don't hit a ball as well as I thought I could, I would get upset. Now, I wouldn't slam anything down, but you could see me, you know, running to first with my head down yelling, you know, because you didn't do as well as you hoped. And that's because I was 49. You know, the guy that I was at 21, 22 on a baseball diamond. And look, I was a captain, so there was some of that. I was a catcher, so you can't really go off when you need to go off. But occasionally, you need to let that steam out. I've always been someone, and Dan and I used to talk about this all the time. I always felt like Pete has a little too much dip on his chip. But
is this go hand in hand with the dip on the chip?
Yeah, but I've come around on it now. Like, I'm with him, and I'm okay. It's the same way that I'm, for the most part, okay with some of the crazy stuff that Wilson Contreras does, because I get it that some guys run hot. Well, then, it's a different thing. It's a different thing.
Uh-huh.
Because Wilson often misdiagnoses what is going on and gets stuff wrong.
Right, right, right. That adds a whole nother level. But I hear what you're saying. And let me say, like, I understand that we are who we are as people, and especially as young players and young people, the same stuff that makes you great can make things a problem. And in fact, I was texting with someone who knows Pete really well, and they said that he wears his emotions close to the surface.
Yes.
And that can be a great thing about him, too.
That's why I was worried about that play in center field a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Because he's an emotional player. But similarly to Javi Baez, he needs some of that to kind of flow through him. Like, I know I'm getting kind of existential
no,
here.
No. But I'm with it. They're very similar. There's a connective tissue that's far bigger than the trade. It's the way that they feed off the crowd, and the way that they flourish, and the way that they bloom. In that way. Did Javi do that? I don't remember Javi expressing himself in that way necessarily.
Javi's a little cooler than PCA, you know?
Yeah.
Like usually,
Pete's a little more raw and a little more open about all that stuff.
Like, on the spectrum of Javi to Wilson, PCA is probably closer to Javi,
yeah.
But he's on that spectrum.
Yeah. Look, before we talk about the reaction to this that's coming in, Alex, you had a similar experience with the fan that you were with.
Yeah,
the other day.
What did you say that it was your sister?
Yes.
Right? What did she say after it?
She said, I don't like that.
Yeah, I was with my girlfriend and her cousin, and her cousin Jess said exactly the same. She's like, why is he so angry? So yeah. It was like the similar reaction to it, but
yeah.
I had to explain that, you know, he's a young guy that sometimes... It actually quite a bit when he makes a last out does that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the reactions are like, I love it personally. I love the intensity. I don't mind it. There's some other people, but there's a lot of people saying stay off my lawn from Spiegs. Spiegs is shaking his fist saying get off my porch.
Are you the baseball police today?
I don't want to be the baseball
police. You've kind of been the baseball police.
You're
today.
Usually the baseball police.
I'm actually not the baseball police.
You're the fun police. Right?
I'm Black Cop.
I'm Black Cop. Do you have a black cave?
Always. I mean, now I have the black mobile. So
<there's> the black cave, the stone rolls, the black cave is open, and here comes the black
mobile. I picture Scatman Crothers' apartment in The Shining.
As the black cave? Dick Halloran over the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah, I mean, the black mobile is pretty awesome.
See, you like that's why you like being the black cop.
I've had a lot of fun driving.
Man, here. I want to be the black cop someday. I'm not allowed.
Nope, not allowed. I am, though. But yeah, you've been a little baseball policey today.
See, I don't want to be that guy. I'm trying to express it in a real way. Because I look
all the jewelry and all the stuff.
That's not what I'm saying. Okay, don't turn me into Bud Norris over here. I don't want to be Brian McCann up in this ish.
Old Matt LaRusso over here sitting next to me.
Stop yourself. You probably know the rules better than I.
Now I know.
A,
but
C,
but you didn't
F,
know.
H, you Z.
You didn't know the rules.
That was my favorite when Tony got caught.
Well, I mean, that's whatever. But the baseball, him falling asleep during a game,
yeah, not
great.
That's not good.
Especially when you're the baseball police.
I haven't fallen asleep during a game since at least Sunday night. You know?
Can I just tell you?
What?
I mean, I know that we often will talk about and rank naps.
Yeah, baseball nap.
Baseball naps are great.
It's
golf naps are better, I think.
I don't think. You know why the golf nap is not better? Because when you wake up, golf is on. It's not baseball. Serious. You wake up and you're like, oh my God, there's still a baseball game on. This is amazing.
West Coast college football on a Friday night.
Oh, that's a good nap. That's a good nap.
You're not even trying. And you're like, oh, you know what? I do want to see San Jose State versus BYU. I'm in.
RIP Pac-12 after dark.
Pac-12 after dark was the shiznit, let me tell you. I can get away with that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that was beautiful where you look up like, wait.
It was great.
Utah State is playing UCLA?
So could Dan Plesac have gotten away with God Daznit? I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah. Snoop
could
good.
Have.
Yeah. I think, Danny, did I just get away with that?
Maybe.
Sweet. I think, man, we're inventing new ways to express ourselves.
I mean, we're going to have to after that interview with Plesac yesterday. The people on the Twitch and on the Odyssey app got themselves a treat. Exactly.
Yeah, they did.
So look, because Layla hit us up and when she was walking out of here, she was like,
she had no idea.
She was like, I heard that the Plesac interview. I was like, oh, did you hear the time where he said, and then when he also said, she was like, no. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That happened.
Yeah.
God.
That's amazing. That's Plesac talking about seeing Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge walk out of the dugout. Be like, oh, boy. That is a thing. So, look, I enjoy the hell out of PCA. I hope that it's something he can eventually get under control, because I think there's going to be a lot of people that run with it a lot farther than I'm running with it, you know, because I see all the greatness in him and I see the humanity in him, and I'm not going to harp on it. I've brought it up. I've now talked about it, but there's going to be a lot of people that go to the next level. There's some of the fans that Alex was with or my sister or others are going to be like, oh man, screw that guy. There will be people that turn on you if you do that kind of thing again and again.
I think that the turn only happens if he stops being a productive baseball player.
It's baseball, so he's going to.
Of course, because it's baseball.
He's going to do that. He's going to do that in the middle of a slump, which happens, and people are going to be upset about it.
But I need him to be himself and go through this. I think there are so many athletes who mute themselves, and I don't want him to do that. Like I want to give him the space to explore some of that. I also think that professional athletes and men in general, I think that we do a terrible job of suppressing emotion, and sometimes we do it because of appearances. And if it's not destructive, like I don't find that to be destructive, although the who's picking up your stuff is a thing for me.
That part of it can eat away at a clubhouse. I have seen it.
I agree. But as long as it seems to be kind of self-contained, I'm okay with him growing into the man that he's going to be.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's totally
fair. And that's
fair.
Part of the journey.
That absolutely is. And I think he's got good elder statesman teammates and some smart coaches to help guide him on that journey.
And I mean, he's also got a guy that we consider to be an elder statesman teammate that also does crazy goofy stuff that sometimes get caught on camera.
Oh, JT?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
remember when we all recognized what was going on? And we were like, wait, was that? Oh, no.
You know what I wish? I wish when JT was the fan of the game. Because that's amazing. That's what it was. He was the fan of the game.
He was.
With those things hanging around. I wish
so to speak.
That the next night, the broadcast would have begun.
Let's take a look back at our fan of the game from
just simply play by play, turning to color and saying, "Boy, let's talk about last night. That game was nuts." You know, that's what it should have been.
Yar.
But again, you know, Alex Cooper, horrendous. You know,
Tanny, I feel like you're turning on me. Tanny's turning on me this whole day. This whole day, like he's got me as the baseball police now.
Well, Tanny didn't call you that. All of the listeners did.
Not all of them. Not all of them. Some people are not calling me that.
Most of them.
This texture's on with a good one. You guys need a segment called Express Yourself where you come up with ways to vent without cursing.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Ooh, like creative word combinations and choices.
Hey, man, I'll say it right now. Dagnabbit is almost as satisfying as a curse word.
Mother, father.
Oh, boy, that's good because that's scary, too.
Yeah, you mother, father.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
I'm going to go with dagnabbit. Because I'm the baseball police. Because that's what Tony La Russa
would
say.
That definitely seems like something the baseball police would say over and over again.
Fudge.
Dagnabbit.
Baseball narc, because you're kind of undercover right now.
Right. You're right, Tanny.
Hello, fellow kids.
Yeah, his whole thing is, oh, I really love baseball. And baseball is great. Fellow baseball fans, get off my lawn with your expression. How dare you get angry? God.
Love when I'm the bad cop. It's just because I can't be the black cop.
That's not why you're the bad cop.
It is. Well, what am I supposed to do?
You could be the good cop.
I do
it's
that.
Good cop, black cop.
Is that
you
the show?
You could just be the good cop.
I get so confused. I really
it's a bunch
do.
Of different shows, actually.
Can I drive the Blackmobile? Can I drive it one time?
You can get a ride.
Oh, all right.
I'll bring it down here. You might have a problem getting out.
Really? It's one of those? You sink down deep into the Blackmobile?
Speaks. I have been talking, you know, I've been talking about this for a little bit, right?
Yes, yes. About getting it?
Your Cybertruck.
Yes. And so I went and got it. And
the spinoff party's got to be just for him.
Thanks to Audi Exchange St. Charles. They were great. I went and took it to my parents' house. And my mom was like, ooh. I like this car.
I like this kind of party.
This car is pretty. And I said, would you like to get into the car? And she's like, yes, because it's got nice leather
That's
suede
awesome.
Seats.
What a beautiful thing when you can do that for one of your parents like that.
So then she was like, your father can't get into this car. Like, I can barely get out of this car. It's pretty low to the ground.
It is, huh?
And I have
I can
already
stop, drop, and roll if it's worth it.
Look, this is me and my brother went on a ride. And my brother's 5 years older than me. Yeah. And he's like, how long are you going to be able to drive this? Because the getting out part is very
issue.
Different.
Here's an option. If you thought about this, don't get out. Just don't do
Just
it.
Just keep driving.
Just keep driving. Sleep in there. You know? Get yourself an Ethernet hookup.
It's a good radio gimmick. It's the guy who does the show from a car.
Yeah.
Well, because he lives his whole life there.
Well, guess what, Tanny?
Build a toilet in?
I produced that segment here on The Score when Les drove back from the Eastern Conference Finals.
Of course he did.
In 1999.
And he did the show from the car?
He had to do the first segment from the car.
I think Sears told me that he did what from like a drive-through one time.
I'm not surprised.
Wait a minute. Les was covering like a post Jordan era Eastern Conference Finals.
He went down
compelled to do that.
The Pacers Knicks, right? So he Pacers Knicks, and he went down to Indianapolis. And by then, I'm what, a year into my tenure here at The Score.
They should have just let you host the segment until he got back.
Well, I'm getting to that part of it. So Les tells me. He says, I think I'm going to make it back before. And so I'm like, what? Because that was when the show started at 1. Remember, Tommy Williams was on.
Oh,
from,
yes.
So Zampilla was producing
I
that.
I love you, big partner.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay. And I'm doing the math. And you know, we're not good at math.
But
I was sitting there going, it's a 3-hour drive from Indianapolis. And you've been working all day.
Uh-oh.
And so if you're coming back here, sure, you might be here by 12:55 or whatever because of the time change.
Yeah, we're not going to be ready to do a radio
show. You're not going to be ready to do a radio. I was like, all right, so I got everything planned for you. You're pretty much just going to have to walk in and be less. He's like, I'm not going to make it.
This is Les Grobstein, the late Les Grobstein, an absolute treasure, our former overnight guy.
So he says, I'm going to have to start the show on the phone. And I'm like,
that's not a thing.
Terrible idea.
That is not a thing.
So he's like, can you load up that last break between Tommy going off the air and us starting? I'm like, I can ask Tommy. And he's like, no. I'm on 90.94 now. I'm not far from the station. I'm like, okay. So, and Tommy was like, do you want me to stay? I was like, nah, man, just go, because right, he's going to come in here like a house on fire.
There's the problem. Tommy's got to stay. That's radio.
No, he does not have to stay. So Les gets in. Let's call it 112, 117.
All right, you guys ready? Let's do it. 112, 117.
Somewhere in there, he gets there. And he's wired because he just drove 3 hours and there's the adrenaline rush of being on the air and all that stuff. Then
Patrick Ewing was traveling all night long.
He definitely did that. And then at about 3:30, the crash happened.
Oh, no.
And for those of you on Twitch, I'm going to show you what happened. Okay. And I'm going to try to explain it. Les is sitting there doing the segment, takes his glasses up.
Uh-huh. Oh, the head just falls directly into the microphone.
Now,
Connor, don't gift that. Whatever you do, have a little class. Gift that.
So,
Connor, you have 60 seconds. Go.
Get it up there. So he falls asleep while talking to a caller.
Oh, man. So the caller ends and there's no host.
No. That was my first moment on the air.
Really? Your first moment ever on the score?
I jumped on the air.
Good job.
And asked the caller about what he said. And I was like, Les, what do you think about that? And he's like, well, what do you think about it? Lawrence, what do you think about it?
Oh, wow.
And then I gave my thoughts on it. And then he woke up. And he was like,
and that was that.
And he's back in. And
he got the shock that lasted him the rest of the show.
And then he told me, I can open my mic whenever I want.
Oh.
That is the origin story of me on the air at the score.
Folks, no. From there to the Blackmobile.
Right.
So you owe everything to Les.
100%.
Now, someone who, I owe nothing to, I also have a similar story. This is not as good of a story, but it did happen. Ranji, this happened before a Sox pregame one time. Where we were sending him out to God knows where, and all of a sudden it was like 2 minutes before the pregame opening billboard, which is like has to be precise timed. And he calls, he's like, hey buddy, I'm not gonna make it. And he was lost on top of it. So it's like, and this was before GPS was readily available on cell phones. So it's like looking at MapQuest. Well, did you turn in 0.3 miles? where are you? So he did the first segment of pregame on the phone.
Oh, wow.
Les was, I got to say, hey buddy, for a guy who was driving 90 miles an hour and holding a brick phone. It's 1999, y'all. And holding a brick phone.
It was a pretty good segment.
Did a pretty good job. For a guy hosting a show while driving like a crazy person.
Amazing.
He did a pretty good job of hosting the show.
I love when radio story time breaks out on this show.
Oh, it was a 4-minute open that I put together, Speaks, because I was ready. I was like, this guy's not going to make it. I'm going to give him as much time as I can. I put together a 4-minute open. So he would have as much. And you remember Belmont.
Yeah.
He came in like Kramer on Seinfeld.
Well, and you could park literally right next to the door.
You could roll right up. Yeah.
It's not like we're downtown. You could just roll right up and get there.
You roll right up.
And it's predictable. There's no traffic on that part of town.
Not that time of night.
No. So I understand the confidence that you're actually going to make it. And yet he did not.
And he didn't.
Incredible.
It was really awesome. And I owe Les a lot for allowing me to do all sorts of stuff as far as production and cleaning up the stupid production that he used to have where he would Speaks. Les would, you know how we had the update studio and we could do production back there? and the reel-to-reel back in the day before digital editing, where we go back there with a grease pin and a razor blade, cut and literally cut tape and splice it together and stuff.
Don't call it stupid. You're on some of it.
Down, down, down.
I am.
Lakers going down.
I am. What this not that that's not what I meant by stupid. What I meant by stupid is that
I know, Les, I just wanted to play it.
Oh, you should play it all the time. I love Les. He would stop the reel to reels with his hands at places that he wanted it to stop. And so when you do that, you get a whoop sound that would then end up on the carts that we would play. And I was like, we need to stop that. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, that doesn't sound good. I was like, I'll just do your production from now on.
Yeah, I could just make an edit to a blank part of the tape.
Yeah, just tell me what you want, and I'll put it together. I'm your producer. And I think it was like the first time that Les had actually had someone
who was doing the work for him,
who wanted to produce the show.
Yeah, that's a big moment when you realize that.
He's someday, like, oh, okay.
Someday, when Alex Kuhn actually starts producing this show... We're gonna have that sensation.
Wow,
Danny, you knew it was coming.
I couldn't wait more.
You knew what,
are you gonna do the show tomorrow from the road?
Yeah,
that's when I become a producer.
Yeah, that's when you step in.
Finally,
we know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball: long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.